Averis B'nai Torah presents The Shmooze, an engaging and motivating Mussar and Hashkafa series that deals with real-life issues.
The Gemara in Yuma describes the difference between revenge and bearing a grudge. And the Gemara is very specific. It brings a brisa. What is nekama? Nekama is if Reuven says to Shimon, loan me your hatchet. And Shimon says, no, I will not do it. The next day, Shimon says back to Reuven, will you lend me your shovel? If Reuven says, yesterday you did not loan me the tool that I asked for, therefore I'm not loaning today the tool that you're asking for, that is revenge, that is nekama. You didn't loan me, I'm not loaning you, that's nekama. And then the Braisa goes on to tell us, what is netira, what is bearing a grudge? If Reuven says to Shimon, loan me your hatchet, and Shimon says no, the next day Shimon comes back to Reuven and says, lend me your shovel. If Shimon then says, you didn't loan me yesterday, but I'm unlike you, I will loan you today, that is netira. He's not clean, he violates a full losa say of the Torah, and Rashi explains why, because adova shomer belibo, there's still something in his heart, he hasn't cleansed his heart, lo sichu midaito, he's remembering, he's reminding the other fellow, I'm different than you. Yesterday you didn't loan me what I asked for. And that's called netira. That's called bearing a grudge. So nekama is taking revenge. Netira is bearing a grudge. Even though I'll loan you what you didn't loan me, but keeping that in my heart, keeping that emotion, is still a losa say in the Torah. And I'd like to ask two very basic questions on this braisa. Number one, I think, is rather simple. And that is that what the second individual did was 100% justified. Reuven went over to Shimon and said, please loan me something, and Shimon said no. All Reuven did the next day was pay him back exactly measure for measure. Yesterday you didn't loan me, today I'm not loaning you. That's yashrus, that's mishpat. The whole Torah stands on mishpat, the whole Torah stands on that which is just, that which is appropriate, that which is proper. And what in this case, what the second person is doing sounds to be 100% yosher, 100% the correct thing to do. And especially netira is even less than that. Netira is, I'm different than you. You didn't loan me. I'm conquering my nature. I'm not taking revenge. That especially doesn't sound to be anything incorrect. It sounds 100% yashrus, mishpat, appropriate behavior. And yet this is, both are called the losasei. Now, if you're not fully appreciative of that question, let me ask the question, the second point. And that is something that the Orach HaTzaddikim explains to us and the Mesillas Yesharim echoes. The Mesillas Yesharim says, when you've wronged me, if you've harmed me, there is a burning need within me to make things even. One of the most powerful desires in the human is to even the score. If you've ever been really wrong, someone really, really was unjust and inappropriate in what they did to you, there's a tremendous desire to get them back. And the Mesillas Yesharim says it's one of the sweetest feelings. Not only that, if you want an illustration, the Orach HaTzaddikim in the ninth perek wants to give some illustrations of the type of emotions, the type of sensations that you'll feel in Olam Haba. He says it's beyond anything that we'll feel here in this world. All typical enjoyments that we have, eating, physical pleasures, are extraordinarily limited. He says if you want to understand Olam Haba type pleasures, what it's like to enjoy things in the world to come, the very first example he says is imagine an enemy who gets to take vengeance, that gets to take revenge on his enemy. That pleasure is so sweet, it's me'ain, it's similar, it's sort of a sniff and a smell of a otherworldly pleasure. The point being, there's a very real drive, a very real hunger, it's one of the greatest pleasures. So if that's such a powerful drive in the human, and it's Yashrus, it's Mishpat. How could the Torah expect me, a plain Basav Adam, not to do it? Not only not to take revenge when it's Mishpat, when it's appropriate, when it's proper, not even to harbor a feeling in my heart, not even to remember it. You were wrong, you were improper, you acted in a totally incorrect way, and the Torah not only expects me not to take revenge, but the Torah wants me to eliminate it as if it didn't happen. And the question is that the Torah was not given to Malach HaSharis. Hashem does not come with unreasonable requirements or requests from the creation. How could the Torah expect me to master myself to that extent? How could the Torah asser Netira and Nekama? And I'd like to deal with those two questions this evening. And to do that, I'd like to focus a little bit on a concept that we don't deal with that often. And that is an element of understanding the way Hashem acts with us. We say in Shemoneh Esrei the following expression, Melech Ozer, Moshiach, Umogen. Three expressions. Ozer means Hashem helps me, Moshiach means Hashem saves me, Mogen means Hashem shields me. And they sound the same. Melech Ozer, Moshiach, Umogen sound like three synonyms. I mean, I don't know, they're about the same. And if you look in the Siddur Agra, he says they're vastly different. The first one is Melech Ozer, means as follows: Hashem, you help me. It looks like it's my actions. I went to work, I did it, and I recognize the fact that Hashem, you gave me bracha, you allow me to succeed. It looks like I did it. It looks like Hashem helped me to do it. That's Melech Ozer, when Hashem is the helper. The next level is Moshiach. Hashem, you saved me. There it's clear that I couldn't do it. I was bankrupt. There was no way I could support myself. I was captured by enemies. I was sick in the hospital. My car was rolling off the cliff. My life was over. I saw death right there. And Hashem, you saved me. There's no mistaking it. There's no illusion. I get it. Hashem saved me. I couldn't do it myself. And then there's a third level called Mogen, when Hashem is the shield. And the shield means when I don't even know that I was in danger, I don't even recognize that I was in jeopardy, and Hashem shielded me from the harm. The Gemara Nida brings an example. The Gemara says two people went out to make a fortune in the market. On the way to the ship, when they were both headed out there, one man caught himself on a thorn, opened up his leg, and couldn't go on. He's ripped open his skin, and he couldn't walk anymore, and he began cursing. He began cursing, Hashem, Hashem, why have you done this to me? Hashem, why have you injured me? Why have you brought me to this point? His friend got on the ship. A number of months later, he heard that the ship went down at sea, and this first man began praising Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, because you are the Mogen, the shielder, the one who protects me without my even being aware of my being in danger. There's a very interesting story. Rav Aaron Cutler was once approached by a woman. This was right after World War II, and her husband had gone on Vat Hatzalah work. The Jews who had lived through the Holocaust were in DP camps in various situations. This gentleman was sent by Rav Aaron to see what he could do to help them out. And on the way back, his plane went down at sea. All hands were lost. This woman came to Rav Aaron to ask, since they haven't found the bodies yet, but it's clear that no one survived, should her sons begin saying Kaddish yet? Rav Aaron said, do not say Kaddish, it can't be. He's a shliach mitzvah, he went on a mitzvah, it can't be. A number of weeks later, the man shows up. What happened? He got on the plane from Europe back to America. The plane stopped to refuel. He realized he had a few hours. It was his yahrzeit for his father. He got off the plane and went to get a minyan. Somehow they didn't realize that he wasn't on the plane. He didn't make it back. The plane took off without him. And you can imagine how he was upset. Here I am, a shliach mitzvah, and I get off the plane and I put myself in a potential sakana because to yahrzeit for my father, say, Kaddish, and Hashem, you don't even stop the plane for me. You don't even arrange things for me. But then when the plane went down at sea, he understood what it means, Melech Ozer Umoshia Umogain, shielding, says the Gemara, Afilu Abalanes Enomakir Biniso. The one who's the recipient of the miracle doesn't even know that the miracle was done for him. And that's what the Pasuk means, Ose Neflos Gedolos Levado. Hashem, you do great wonders alone. What does it mean alone? Without man's knowledge. You shield me, you protect me without anyone being aware of it. That's mugging. On a much smaller level, I'll share with you a personal example. I try to exercise regularly, and oftentimes, so as not to waste time, I try to use my time then productively. And to be honest, much of the shmoozim come out when I'm running. I put my brain on somewhere else, and my body is going this way, my brain is somewhere else, and I'm oftentimes in a reverie, I'm just not really there. A few weeks ago, I was in one of those states, and as I'm running, all of a sudden I get splash, and I stopped my pace, and it was like it broke my stride, and I got a little upset by it, and as I got to the corner, and as the minute my foot hit the curb, a car went right there, and I said to myself, I get it. Had my stride not been broken, had I not stopped for that nanosecond, I would have been there, the car would have been there, and I would have been... That's something that happens on a regular basis. But the big point is, it's not Melech Ozer. We don't see Hashem helping us. It's not Hashem saving us. It's not something we're aware of. It's Mogein. Hashem shields us. Hashem protects us. And that's something that is basic to our Emunah system. That there are many, many times when I'm not even aware of how much Hashem does for me. One of the most basic concepts in our system of belief is that the human cannot help me, nor can he harm me. I am shielded, I am protected, Hashem is there. Whether it's cars, whether it's planes going down at sea, whether it's ships going down at the ocean, whether it's a human being who wants to harm me, Hashem is there, the Melech Ozer, Moshiach, Umagin, shielding me, protecting me, and the Orach HaTzaddikim says it, and the Chovos HaLevavos echoes the same words, you cannot touch me, you can't harm me, and you also can't help me. The same way that I understand that no human being can harm me, cannot end my life, I also understand that you could have all of the money in the world, and if I'm supposed to be suffering a serious setback, there's nothing you can do to help me. You could have all the wisdom on the planet, if I'm supposed to be sick, you cannot help me, you can't hurt me, you can't help me. There was a woman who was being wheeled into a very serious surgery. And she said to the physician as follows, she said to the surgeon, I don't want you to worry. If anything goes wrong and I die, I won't fault you. The surgeon looked at her and said, thank you. But then she finished. However, she said, if things go right and I get better, I won't fault you for that either. Understanding that the same way the doctor can't mess up and kill me, he also can't get it right and save me. It's not within his jurisdiction. It's not within his power. If he's a Shliach Hashem, he'll be successful. If not, not. But it has nothing to do with him. And this concept goes so far that there are often times that we don't even realize it. I'll share with you an example that the Chovos HaLevavos brings that initially sounds a bit strange. He says there was a sofer. There was a man who made his living by writing Sifrei Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzahs, and someone turned to him and said, how's the Parnasa? And the man said, Baruch Hashem, as long as my hand writes well, I'm doing okay. And the Chovos HaLevavos says he was a chassid, and the next day an accident happened and his arm was cut off. Why, the Chovos HaLevavos said? Because he was both teach, he trusted in his hand. He was on the Madrega that was considered a major issue. He trusted in his hand, and because of that he was punished, and the next day his hand was cut off. And my friends, that's something that I think we oftentimes fall prey to. Talk to a fellow who's done well. My business, Baruch Hashem, is doing phenomenal. Making money hands over fist. And he's a frum guy. So he'll say, Baruch Hashem, I'm so appreciative that Hashem guided me into this field at this time, because that's how I'm making my money. I was going to go to medical school, I wasn't sure, and somehow Hashem directed me to go into dentistry, and now I'm making $1 million a year. Had I been a physician, I'd been okay, but nowhere near the same kind of money. Baruch Hashem, that Hashem directed me into this path. That, my friends, is apikorsis. That is a false belief. Because the Chovos HaLevavos says what you're doing is you're trusting in the Siba. You're trusting in dentistry, you're trusting in your practice, you're trusting in your business, and you're failing to understand that that's Hashem. Had you not done this, you would have done that. You would have gone into this business, that business. The amount of money you are to make is set, provided that you go about your shtadlus in an appropriate, serious manner. The amount of money you are to make is set. Your job is to go out there, do your job, work diligently, be honest, and know that it's 100% B'yad Hashem, nothing to do with the Sibos. And that, my friends, is one of the greatest tests of B'tachon. You see, when things are rough, and you don't have a clue how you're going to pay your bills, when that mortgage payment is looming, and you're desperately in trouble, it's easy to have B'tachon in Hashem, because you have no choice. You realize, there's no way but for me to trust in Hashem. But when things are going really well, and you're really, really doing phenomenally, you're flourishing, and your business is excelling, that's when it's far more difficult to trust in Hashem, because it's my business. It's my business acumen. It's the industry that I chose. And that's a situation where it becomes much more difficult to actually trust in Hashem. The Sefer HaChinuch explains that the mitzvah of not taking the kama has to do with one simple concept. And that is that a person should bring to his heart the following realization. Kol asher yikra'eyu, anything that occurs to a man, mitov adra, from good to bad, husiba shetovlo me'es Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu, is brought to him by Hashem. Everything that occurs to me, for the good, for the bad, is brought by Hashem. You can't touch me. You may try, you may scheme, you may dream, you can't help me, you can't harm me. And the Chovetz Chabad says this is the basis of B'tochan. The Sefer HaChinuch is explaining that that's how the Torah forbids us from taking Nekama. Because Nekama means I'm putting way, way too much importance on you. I'm giving you so much more power that you never have. What I'm doing is I'm getting angry at you. But when I get angry at you, what I'm doing is investing huge amounts in your abilities to affect me. And that's false. You can't harm me. You can't help me. And if you want to know, the Sefer HaChinuch says, why the Torah forbids Nekama, it's because it's a lack of emunah. It's a lack of bitachon. It's not recognizing who runs the world. And when a person fully gets it, when he fully realizes that no one can harm me nor help me, there's no concept of Nekama. I'd like to share with you a mushal. Imagine for a minute the following. You go to a play, and you're watching the two actors in the play get into a fight, and they start punching and kicking and pushing and shoving and yelling and screaming, and they go through this whole barroom brawl. And then the curtain comes down, the play is over, and you see backstage the two stars are patting each other back. Whoa, good throw. Oh, I love that punch. Whoa, and you cursed out real good there. Wow, that was so realistic. And you look, what's going on? 10 minutes ago, you guys were kicking, cursing, punching, kicking. Now you're buddies. What's going on? The answer is, that's a play. It's going through the motions. I punch, you duck, you kick, I move to the side. It was all rehearsed. It's just going through the motions. That, my friends, is exactly what happens when I walk in the street and Plony attempts to hit me. When you walk over and attempt to close down my business, when you owe me money and you don't pay, and you're really, really stealing my money, and I get angry, I get furious at you, the chutzpah, you're destroying my business. That is kfirah. Because it's not understanding what's really happening in the world. You can't harm me, you can't help me, that's decided by Hashem. You are but going through the motions. We're like actors on that stage, you punch, I duck, but there's no change in the outcome. The exact outcome, down to the minutia, down to the penny, has been determined, has been decided, and you can't change it. And once you understand this, and then you very quickly understand how the Torah could forbid Nekama. If you say it's Yashrus, he harmed me. He tried to damage me. He didn't do something that I needed, and therefore it's only appropriate that I pay him back in kind. What I'm doing is I'm putting him in charge of the world. I just made him God. But what I've also done is thrown away the entire belief system of Judaism. Because if I've now credited him with harming me, if I've now credited him without helping me, I've given him way, way too much power. It's not Yashrus because he didn't do anything. it's only mishpat, it's only justice. If he harmed me, then it's appropriate I pay him back. If I could see through this shell, if I could see through this darkness of physicality and recognize he's but a shliach of Hashem, the exact amount of money has been set, the exact amount of pain has been set, the exact amount of embarrassment that I am to suffer has been determined, weighed and measured, he can't add an iota, nor can he subtract it. And I recognize he's but a pawn, he's but an actor, and there's no bearing a grudge, there's no anger. It's not mishpat, it's not justice, because he didn't do anything to me. And if you're afraid that, oh my goodness, only Malchei Asharis can feel no emotion, he attacked me, he harmed me, and I should bear no grudge, you are correct. Only a Malchei Asharis can feel no emotions if he was attacked. But the Sefer Chinuch is saying, he didn't do it. It's not him. Don't give him so much credit. He didn't create the world. He doesn't run the world. He's but a pawn, and he has nothing to do with the outcomes. It's quickly apparent that it's Me'es Hashem, only from Hashem, and therefore the Torah demands from us that A, we don't bear a grudge, B, we don't take revenge. It's not for Malchei Asharis, it's for Bali Emunah, for people who understand how Hashem runs the world. And I believe that this has an awful lot to do with our lives. We're all, Baruch Hashem, from people, and I don't think one of us is going to be tempted to eat treif, to Michal Shabbos. We feel pretty secure in our being Orthodox Jews keeping the Torah. I'd like to share with you something that happened to me personally, and I'll show you that it's not so simple that we keep every single mitzvah in the Torah. One of my children had a certain situation, and we needed a specialist. And it was a situation where you had to go a number of times. And when I first showed up to the first appointment, I quickly found out that it wasn't covered by insurance. And because he was a specialist, he charged $175 per session, and it wasn't like an hour, it was like about 15 minutes of his time. All right, listen, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So in any case, it was quite a number of times we had to go. And one time, the appointment was 4 o'clock. I called at 12 o'clock because I wasn't able to make it, and I canceled. The next time I show up for the appointment, and I come out to the secretary, and she says, that'll be $350, please. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you missed your last appointment. I said, yeah, but I canceled that. She said, no, I'm sorry. If you don't cancel within 24 hours, you pay the full amount. I said, are you kidding? You want me to pay an appointment that I canceled for a 15-minute session that I called 4 hours before it? She said, absolutely. I said, that's ridiculous. How could you do that? At which point she pulls out the documentation that I signed that says that if you do not cancel 24 hours in advance, you have to pay. And I was livid. I was furious. I was so angry that I called my wife and said, correct me if I'm wrong, they're insane. It sure does sound to me like somebody has lost their marbles and I'm not writing this check. My wife said, you're right, they're insane. She was more angry than I was. Bottom line is, I wrote the check, I left, and at that point I made up my mind, my child will never see that physician again. I'm calling tomorrow to pull the records and sending it to somebody else because that is outrageous and I will not tolerate it. And then I said to myself, yeah, but there's nobody else in the city who's as good as that doctor. I don't care. I will not put up with this. This is outrageous. This is obscene. I will not put up with this. Yeah, but your kid's going to suffer. I don't care. This is outrageous. This is obscene. I will not put up with this happening. It just can't be done. Yeah, but your kid's going to be damaged. And I fought back and forth, back and forth. And then I said to myself, oh, I get it. It's called, I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to get even. Yeah. It's called nekama. Oh, I get it. That's called revenge. You see, he was the best physician in the city for that. And the only reason I was pulling out was because I was angry. Now I want to share with you the huge chiddush over here. If you would ask a panel of intelligent people, is the doctor acting in a wise manner? I don't think anybody would say he's too smart, because that's bad for business. And believe me, you're not obligated to go to put yourself in that situation. And that's exactly the point. You see, what he did, I think most people would agree, is really not nice. You know, if you're charging $175 for your 15-minute slot, be a mensch. Come on, man. Don't. It's just not nice. It's not appropriate. It's not right. And I think most people would agree that my feelings were correct. But you see, that's the point. The feelings are correct. I'm angry with him. I'm furious maybe, and I want vengeance. But that's because I'm giving him way, way too much credit. And that's exactly the point. When someone has done something that you really feel is unjustified. You see, nekama is not when he did something and it's questionable whether he was right or wrong. Nekama means when he did something really egregious. You asked him to borrow your shovel, and he said no. And it wasn't a good reason. It wasn't an expensive John Deere lawnmower. He's afraid you're going to crash it. There was no reason. And when you're justified, and you really, really have a taina, that's when the Torah says, l'sikom. And that, my friends, is a very huge chiddush. Because if you try to put that into practice, what you find is, it requires an awful lot of bitachon. But that's exactly the point. Once we sort of step aside from the busyness of life, and we understand that there is a shofet mishpat, there is a God who runs the world, and that God who runs the world controls all of the things. I may have my thoughts, and I have my attitudes, but the bottom line is anger dissipates, revenge doesn't fit into that picture, and the more a person gets a hold of these concepts, the less they feel this. Now, that being said, I'd like to share with you something very interesting. A woman once brought a ferret to the veterinarian. Now, if you don't know what a ferret is, it's a fuzzy, squishy kind of animal with the intelligent quotient somewhere between a rabbit and a rock. It is not like up there in the highly intelligent animals. In any case, she brought her ferret to the veterinarian because the ferret kept scratching its neck. Like this, all day long, kept scratching its neck. And she couldn't figure out what was wrong with this animal. And so the veterinarian looked at the animal and said, well, the ferret probably has a stomach ache. And so the woman said, if the ferret has a stomach ache, why is it scratching its neck? And so the veterinarian explained. When the ferret, at some point in its development, had an itch on its neck, it discovered that when it went like this, the itch went away. And that was the only behavior that it learned to eliminate pain or discomfort. Now when it has a stomach ache, what it does is, because it hopes that the stomach ache will go away. That's very interesting. But it's okay, because it's a furry little ball. It's a ferret, and it's somewhere again between the rabbit and the rock on the intelligence quotient, and it's okay. But what about when people act that way? What about when you and I act with the intelligence quotient of approximately a ferret? And let me explain to you what I mean. What the Sefer HaChinuch is telling us is, when someone holds that stick over my head and I get angry at him, I'm missing the boat. I'm completely oblivious to what's really going on. I feel anger at him. I feel furious at him. I want to revenge what he's done wrong. Now let's remember, what he's done wrong is wrong. But that has nothing to do with me. If I were really, really objective about this, I would be out of the picture. I'd be viewing him as if he was speaking to another person, another Jew, and I'd be looking at it with those eyes. But the minute I'm feeling threatened, the minute I'm feeling angry, the minute I'm looking for revenge, what I'm doing is I'm missing the boat. I'm reacting as we humans usually react, but I'm not acting as a really deep thinking person. It's a natural reaction, it's what naturally happens to us, but I'm not getting it. Last week we spoke about anger, taming the monster within, and I mentioned that a Baal B'tochen will never get angry, and this is true. If a person were to reach the ultimate level of bitachon, there would be no kas. Why? Because I recognize it's not in your power. It's not in your control. You can't harm me. You can't help me. How can I get angry? I get angry. The answer is I get angry because I forget this basic point. I get angry because on some level, I don't see Hashem. And if you'd like to work on your emunah, if you'd like to take the litmus test of your bitachon, just catch yourself the next time you get angry and ask yourself, why? Why am I? I'll tell you why I'm angry. You know what he did? You know what he did? I'll tell you what he did. What he did was X, Y, and Z. But I'll also tell you what you're doing. You're denying Hashem. you, Mr. Baal B'Tochen, are not trusting in Hashem. You don't see Hashem involved in the world. You see this Adam, this big, powerful man, and you're giving him so much credit. You're allowing him to take over for Hashem's job, and you're forgetting the very basics of Emunah. You're forgetting Melech, Ozer, Umoshiach, and Hashem helps, Hashem saves, Hashem is Mogen, Hashem protects. You're forgetting completely what's your part, what's Hashem's part. And I think it's a rather difficult task to work on, but the more a person understands this, and the more a person works on this, the less anger they feel, and the less need for revenge. And the way to practice this is to walk around and think about this during the day. I am protected by a lucite bubble. And I'm walking on a street, I may look vulnerable, I could be hit by cars, I could be attacked by microbes, I can be shot with a bullet. No, that's false and that's illusionary. I'm walking around protected. Hashem is the Mogen, Hashem is my shield, and I'm walking around with a lucite bubble protecting me. I'm invulnerable. I cannot be touched because Hashem is there, Hashem is protecting me. And if you think about that, and if you work on it, and you allow that concept to enter into your mind, you start thinking about things in a very different way. You start looking at people differently. You stop crediting them. You also stop demeriting them because they really don't have that much power. You stop trusting in people. You stop giving them credit. More than anything, you recognize that it's not my world. It's Hashem's world. And you recognize quite how much Hashem is involved in the running of our lives. When the Torah asks us nekama, it's not giving us a mitzvah that's impossible. It's asking from us a different perspective. And the Torah says, don't take revenge. You know why not? Because he didn't do it. He couldn't help you. He can't harm you. What the Torah is demanding from us is practice bitachon. Practice trusting in Hashem. Practice emunah. Therefore, if he didn't loan you the shovel, loan him the hatchet. Why? Because he can't help you. He can't harm you. Practice that. Go through those motions. See it. Live it, and you'll inculcate, you'll put within your nature a new level of trusting in Hashem. Yes, Yashrus demands, Mishpat demands revenge, but that's only if he did something to me. If he stepped on my toes, and if he hurt me financially, I have to pay him back. My nature demands it. I demand revenge. It's the sweetest feeling in the world. But that's denying Hashem. That's giving him way too much credit. That's saying he's in charge, he's powerful, he is the one. What the Gro teaches us is Pshat in Shmon Esrei, Melech Ozer. Melech Ozer means quite simply, Hashem helps me, but it looks like me. Moshiach means Hashem saves me. I can't even delude myself. I can't fool myself. But Mogen is a much higher level. Mogen is like that man who got his foot caught on that coats, on that thorn, and he cursed Hashem. Hashem, how could you do this? I need to make a living. I need to get on that boat. That's what I need. And Hashem, why are you abandoning me? And 2 months later, when he finds out the ship went down at sea, he recognizes that Hashem was protecting him. And so too, when that man got off the plane, for a yard site no less, to say Kaddish for his father, and Hashem didn't even protect him. You know how hard it is to find a flight back? It's right after the war. It's not like today. And he has to wait weeks to be away from his family. Why didn't Hashem take care of him? Why didn't Hashem protect him? What kind of business is this? And then later, when he finds out that the plane went down, he understands, and my friends, that's pshat. Many, many times we don't get it, not till the week after, not till 2 weeks after, sometimes not for years and years later, and we begin to understand what and why Hashem did things. But understanding that osen neflos gedolos levado, there are many times, kavyocho, when Hashem is lonely, if it could be, because Hashem is protecting us, Hashem is doing things for our best, and we're angry with Hashem. We have kindness against Hashem. We say to Hashem, what's the matter? I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to be a firm Jew. Why are you doing this to me? And we have kindness against Hashem. And Hashem Kaviyach is sitting there. Nar, this is for your good. You don't see it because you're caught up in this world. You don't see it because you're here today. But I have the big picture. I have the broader vision. And if it could be, Hashem is levado. Hashem is alone. But understanding that is our relationship. Bitachon requires an awful lot of trust. Trust means knowing that Hashem runs the world, but knowing that Hashem has a much better understanding of what I need than I do. And when a person does that, they have a different perspective on life. Anger begins to dissipate. It's not something that disappears in a flash. It's not something you work on for a week and all of a sudden you never get angry again. But the more you think about it, the more you dwell upon these points, the more you put this into practice, the less you feel the barbs of others, the less you feel their power, and the more you understand that most people never think. They're like ferrets, they're reacting, just going through the motions, doing, happening. He did, I went back, he punched me, I punched him. I'm not a patsy over here, I'm going to take care of it. You know what the Gemara calls that? The Gemara says that when the dog gets beaten by a stick, what does the dog do? The dog waits. The man beats the dog with a stick, the man beats the dog and beats the dog, and finally when the dog is beaten, the man puts the stick down and turns away, the dog waits until the man's far away, then the dog in his anger comes and grabs that stick, and bites the stick. That's a dog. The intelligence of a dog sees the stick, feels the stick hitting him, gets angry at the stick, and as soon as a man turns his back, the dog goes over to the stick and bites it with all its fury and its anger because it's taking revenge on that stick. And I think that's what the Sefer Chinuch is saying. When we take revenge, but justified revenge, appropriate revenge, yashrus, what we're doing is we're biting the stick. Because that person was sent by a master. He's the stick in Hashem's hand. Hashem is directing him to me. Hashem sent him. And as long as I see him as powerful, I'm living in a world of delusion. I'm biting the stick. I'm giving way too much power and importance to man. And I'm failing to recognize the truth, the reality, which is Hashem uses people for kaviyach of Hashem's goals. And as long as you live in a very temporal, very, very superficial world, you bite many, many sticks, you get angry at many, many people, and then you take an awful lot of revenge. But once you're able to step back and understand that Hashem created, maintains, and orchestrates this world, and that as our shluchim of Hashem, no human can help me, no human can harm me, you have a very different perspective. I'd like to close with what the Pelagioites call the epitome, the pinnacle of applying this concept. And that is actually a pasuk in Shmuel. When David heard that his son Avshalom was coming to attack, he recognized that Avshalom was coming with thousands of troops and there would be a bloodbath. If David remained in the palace, there would be a bloodbath. Thousands upon thousands of Jews would be killed. David HaMelech made the radical decision to abandon his palace. And he went out with a few hundred of his loyal soldiers and he ran from the palace because Avshalom was coming. And as he's running out, there's a certain individual who was a Talmud Chacham, who was amongst the Gedolei Hador, who was, according to some, the Rosh Sanhedrin, whose name was Shimi ben Gera. And when Shimi ben Gera saw David HaMelech running out, Shimi ben Gera picked up a rock and he threw it. He picked up another rock and he began stoning David HaMelech and all of the Giborim. Now David HaMelech was a Gibor Chayil. David HaMelech would kill like a bear, and Avshalom was afraid. Avshalom knew that you don't dare attack Avshalom. And here is this person throwing rocks at the king, and then Shimi ben Gera begins cursing. And he begins cursing the Malchus, he begins cursing David HaMelech, and he begins cursing all of the Giborim. And at one point it got to be just too much. And then at a certain point, Avishai ben Surya says to David, "Allow me, please, HaMelech, allow me to cross the way and take that dead dog's life. Let me bring back his head." And listen to the words that David HaMelech says. David HaMelech says, "Ma liv lachem b'nei Tzuria? What is your problem, b'nei Tzuria? Ki yikalo, that'll curse me. Ki Hashem amalo kilel. Hashem said to him to curse. Umiyomar madua sisakein. Who is to say why he is to do this? Don't you understand?" says David HaMelech. Hashem is sending him. He's not cursing me. That's Hashem's message. He's but a pawn. And David HaMelech told him not to go. And now here's the Pelagioites' chiddush. He says, when David HaMelech saw this man cursing him, David HaMelech, if it could be, felt badly. Because David HaMelech knew that for whatever which reason, Hashem wanted him to be stoned, Hashem wanted him to be cursed, but he felt bad that a man of that stature, the Rosh Sanhedrin, should have to be the one to do it. And David HaMelech felt bad that he was tripping up Shimi ben Gera to do this, and he felt bad that he, David HaMelech, was the cause this person's doing it. And when you hear that, you recognize that this man lived in a very different plane. He didn't see people as powerful. David HaMelech didn't look at a man and say, oh my goodness, look at that mighty, powerful man. Maybe I could get him to help me. Maybe I could put him on my side. He recognized that there was one Melech, there's one king. Hashem runs every single transaction on this planet, every single involvement of man. Hashem is right there. A human can't help me, can't harm me. And David HaMelech lived that. When Shimi ben Gera cursed him, he saw right through. It was transparent. He saw right through it, and he saw Hashem. That is the level of a David HaMelech. But what the Sefer HaChinuch is telling us, that all of us can reach that on some level. And the next time we get angry, before we react, the next time we feel a need for vengeance, before we take revenge, stop and ask yourself, am I making this person God? Am I willing to give up my belief system and say that He controls my destiny, that Hashem is not in charge? If I'm doing this, if my reaction is anger, if my reaction is a need for vengeance, I'm giving this person the keys to my destiny, I'm putting him in charge of my life, I'm putting him in charge of the world, and that's kfirah. If a person practices this, works on this, they grow level after level, and they approach life with a very different perspective. And Hashem grant us the wisdom, understanding to put this into practice. Please join us after my...
You've been listening to The Shmooze, presented by Teferis B'nai Torah. For more information on The Shmooze, please visit us at www.theshmooze.com, where you can download all The Shmoozing free of charge, as well as view source sheets and address questions or comments on this or any other Shmooze. The Shmooze is completely funded by private donations. We need your help to continue our work. All donations are tax deductible and count as miser. Please help us help others by calling 866-613-TORAH. That's 866-613-TORAH. Or you can make your donation right on the web at www.theshmooze.com.